Welcome to the Absent Law Podcast. I am your host, Brett Burney. My guest today is Stephen Embry, who is a member at Frost Brown Todd LLC. Steve is based in Louisville, Kentucky, and practices in the class action, privacy, and mass tort groups there at the firm. Stephen is also a member of FBT Tech, which is the firm's technology industry group that focuses on how technology is impacting the legal system and issues facing their clients. I frequently cross paths with Steve at legal technology conferences and other get-togethers, most notably at the ABA Tech Show, since Steve is active in the law practice division of the ABA. Steve and I also serve on the board of the Legal Technology Resource Center of the ABA. Steve, I've always enjoyed talking with you because you practice at a very large law firm, but you still find time to focus on leveraging technology in the practice of law. And I just appreciate someone in your position recognizing the importance of this topic. And actually, we're recording this at the beginning of May, and I believe it's Derby Week there in Louisville. So I don't even, you may not even be at the office today. I don't even know. But welcome to the After the Law podcast, Steve. Tell us a little bit more about your practice.
Sure, Brett. And thanks so much for having me on your podcast. It's a great podcast. I always enjoy listening to it, and I'm really honored.
Thank you.
So it is Derby Week here in Louisville, and I always joke with people. Folks in Louisville are such great partiers that we are able to turn a two-minute horse race into a week's worth of parties. That's going on right now. And the Friday before Derby is actually really interesting because they have a full card of racing at Churchill Downs, and they have a very big race called the Oaks late in the afternoon.
Okay.
Which is really a race for fillies, really high stake fillies race. And everybody in Louisville goes. When I was a young lawyer, I did not grow up in Louisville, so I didn't quite understand the Derby, but I came here as a young lawyer with a mid-sized firm, I guess it was. Okay. And I came in Friday morning, Oaks Day, early because I had a lot of work to do. The lights were on. I don't think I really saw anybody, but that wasn't unusual because it was kind of early. So I went in my office, got my coffee, closed the door, and went to work. And you know how it is, Brett, when you have something, you know, you're really concentrating on time.
Kind of
flew by. And about 11:30, I got to a stopping point. So I got up, opened the door, and all the lights were off. It was deathly quiet. There was not a soul.
Everybody was gone.
Everybody was gone. And it was one of those Twilight Zone moments that go to sleep for a couple of days and it's Sunday or what happened here?
That's great.
There's a few people in the office today, but not very many. And, so it's a big time and it's a real festival. And, you know, it's the one time a year that, that Louisville really rocks. And we got a lot of celebrities and a lot of parties that go on in the evenings. And it's quite a big deal and it's a lot of fun. I've been a couple of times and it is quite a lot of fun.
I've worked with a couple of other much smaller firms there in Louisville and Lexington and Kentucky areas, and it is like you said, it just I don't have to worry about working with them at all this week because that's everything right. is shut down. They're like, no, don't call us. I don't care. Nothing's going on right now. We're not doing any work. This is Derby Week, and that takes precedence over everything. So that's fun. I appreciate it.
That's right. Well, schools are closed. Courts are closed. You know, it's a holiday.
Everything. Okay. Well, let's talk about an app, then we'll get you out of the office before it closes down. You can get out to Churchill Downs. I always invite guests on here, Stephen, to talk about an app that they use maybe throughout their practice or something that has sort of transformed their practice a little bit, and love to hear something about an app that you use in your practice.
Sure. One of the beautiful apps that I've started using a couple or 3 years ago is TranscriptPad, which is Ian O'Flattery's one of his projects, one of his apps. And it's mainly geared for deposition transcript review and issue analysis. And in my career, have done a lot of mass tort work, which are cases, as you know, that frequently have lots of depositions, lots of moving pieces. And I was constantly trying to figure out, well, how do I find and mark and read relevant portions through all these depositions and somehow keep track of those snippets of testimony that I want to use either in another deposition or at trial or send to the client. And, you know, there was a time there where I'd walk around with these huge briefcases full of paper transcripts and right. I would try to go through with highlighters and mark things. And so,
and you different know, colors, have, right? Yellow and pink and green. Yep. Right. Been there, different done that.
Colors. Yep. And, you know, the worst part was you had to remember which color was which. And
right.
then sometimes you had two colors and marked the same highlight, you know, in two different colors. And instead of red, it was black or whatever. So
nice.
It was a mess. And then when we got into electronic transcripts, you know, I would do the same thing, only I'd end up doing it electronically, which wasn't much better. So when TranscriptPad came out, it was really a godsend, because what this app enables you to do is to download deposition transcripts into the app, and then you can highlight or mark various pieces of testimony and code them by issues. In a tort case, you might have duty as an issue. And so if you went to a deposition and clicked on that issue, it would pull up all the pieces of testimony pertaining to the issue of duty or damages or what have you. And so that way you can always very quickly find relevant testimony and read it and use it. And it does enables you to do a lot of things, because you can create reports from these various pieces of testimony.
Powerful reports, right.
Powerful reports, and they're not linear. I mean, when I was a younger lawyer, I was going to say young, which would suggest that I'm old now, so I'm a younger lawyer.
Yeah, got it.
You know, I would review a deposition transcripts and then write a letter to the client summarizing them, and they would be very linear, right? I mean, I would walk through beginning to end, because otherwise it would take too much time. Now, you can go through and very quickly write sort of a topical report, you know, with nice section headings and summarize what happened in the deposition pertaining to those various topics. You can also, if you're in a deposition and need to pull up something from a previous deposition, you can find that. If you've got a transcript, you can take a portion of the deposition and send it to a client or a colleague very easily without having to download the entire deposition.
Wow,
so
it's
just a great piece of software. And it, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. It's does two things. It enables you to do a better job as a lawyer, right? Because you can find issues all together. Things are where you want them to be. And it also makes you more efficient.
Yeah.
Whether it's you or a paralegal or an admin, whatever it is, having all these things sort of together in one place and packaged really creates a lot of efficiency. This is one of those technologies which, you know, to me is a win-win kind of situation. And I'm a very religious user. The only sort of thing I found about it, which is really sort of a good thing, but you have to be careful when you start out in a case that you define the issues that you want to collect testimony on. And the good part about that, of course, is it makes you think through what the issues are early on, which I learned many years ago was really a pretty good way to practice a case. One of my former partners, he's long since retired, but he would always start a case by drafting jury instructions the very first thing.
Oh, interesting.
I was never quite that diligent, but obviously it makes you really think about what's important. If you don't do that, you know, first case I had, and I used TranscriptPad, I ended up with, I don't know, 50 issues, some of which overlapped,
right.
You know, kind of disorganized, and I probably should have had 10, not 50. But it's really good to sit down and sit down with your team and kind of think through those issues carefully. And so when you put the issues in, everybody has a well-defined understanding of what each issue is.
Right.
And so various people on the team can then go through the transcripts. It doesn't have to be me any longer. It could be anybody. It can go through, mark them, and you're going to end up with a lot of very nice testimony all in the right place and all summarized. It looks impressive. I've had a lot of really good moments with it. I'll tell you a quick story, if you don't mind.
Please.
I was recently in a multi-day deposition, and it was very cantankerous. There was a lawyer on the other side who, I guess, had not come into the 21st century. He was still back into the speaking okay. objection phase. And so every other question he'd object with this string of objections. And then he would, you know, every now and then, if it was a critical point, he'd sort of add something. And we were in California, and it's kind of a foreign jurisdiction, so we weren't quite willing to go immediately to the judge. But along about the beginning of the third day, yeah, I'd sort of had enough. So that evening, I went back and did a search for objections. You can search through transcript pads.
Yeah, right.
Forward. And found them all the objections that he had made, copied them all to a motion. And the next day we called the judge, and I sent her all the objections from the testimony itself. So she could actually see which, and so it was like 20 pages, and there was about 10 minutes or so sort of pause. And she said, you know, this is not only over the top. This is way over the top.
That is brilliant, Steve. I love that. Because yeah. I was going to emphasize in that Transcript Pad app, I love that search function on there. And you can actually search across multiple transcripts that you have in there if you've got that organized right. But here's the other thing I do love about Transcript Pad is when you do a search on just a single transcript, which maybe is what you did, or maybe you did it over several, but it'll actually create an issue for that search term, right? In other words, it'll go and it'll list every page and line number where that search term was found, which I'm guessing is what you did. And then with that report, and you tell me this is what you did with the report, you can say, I only want to do the report on this specific issue, or in your case, it would have been this specific search term, because
that's
it marks
exactly
all
right.
of those sections. And that was brilliant, Steve. That's great. So you could attach, you could have attached that to the motion. And that's fantastic. I love that. I love hearing great war stories like that.
And, you know, there's a couple of limitations. But figured out workarounds, to both of them. Actually, there are three, but one is that you can download exhibits into the app.
Right.
You put them into a separate folder, but you can't mark on them. You can't annotate them in any way.
Yeah.
So what I've done is I recently went to the iPad humongous.
Mega iPad, yes.
Mega.
The 12.9 inch, the Pro, iPad Pro.
Which I'm trying to get used to.
It's
but
big,
on
isn't
that,
it?
you can download your exhibits into PDF Expert and
do a
split screen, and you can have the transcript pad running on one side and the exhibits on the other. And then if you want to mark on the exhibits, you can.
That's brilliant.
So that kind of works your way around that. The other thing that's
I was just going to say quickly, piggyback on that. I asked Ian not too long ago about this, because one other limitation, just quickly on that, maybe you're going to hit it, is you can't actually search the content of those exhibits either.
That's right.
Once they're in, which I understand it, because that's a lot. I mean, that's indexing a lot of content in there, and sometimes the exhibits aren't really searchable anyway, right? It has to be a searchable PDF. And typically that's what we pull in as PDFs, although I think TranscriptPad can hold images like JPEG images and other things too. And I tell people that's a limitation. I think Ian is trying to work on that, but that's very difficult to do, to have.
That's
a lot of an index. But that is brilliant, Steve, what you do with the PDF Expert, which does allow you to turn on the searching of the content of PDFs in PDF Expert, but it'll give you a warning. In fact, I was just doing this even in my, I just did a review on Documents 5, which is a file management app from the same company that PDF Expert comes from, Riedel. And you can turn on searching of those files like you would have on your split screen, but it'll warn you that it's gonna slow your iPad down a little bit, because it's a lot of horsepower to search those.
Right,
but that's brilliant how you have that split screen set up there. Thanks for sharing that.
Of course, I have the iPad Pencil, which I think is one of the more brilliant innovations that Apple has come up with in a long time. I mean, it's in my hand or in my pocket almost all the time. And it lets you write and take handwritten notes instead of having to type things like you ordinarily or used to have to do.
Yeah.
Like a PDF expert, if you couldn't write on it, you would have to type a little note, which was time consuming. But you know, being able to jot that note down with a pencil is super.
All right, so I interrupted you. That, number two, the number one limitation on transcript pad is number two.
It sharing with other people that don't have iPads and the app can be a little problematic. You know, we, like most larger law firms, we're a Windows-based shop. Mm-hmm. And so most of our lawyers, you know, when they can get a Surface Pro or a laptop for free, don't usually go out and buy an iPad for X amount of dollars.
Right, right.
Even if it was going to make their lives simpler. Now, those of us that try cases, you know, we most of us do have iPads because, you know, if you want to try a case, it is trial pad is the best trial presentation software out there.
That's the sister app to Transcript. Yeah, that's the sister app to Transcript Pad. Ian makes both Trial Pad and Transcript Pad and Doc Review Pad as well, but we're focused on Transcript Pad today.
But what you can do is you can email either pieces of documents that you've annotated in Transcript Pad or the whole document to other members on your team. Now, they can't annotate it, of course. At least they can't annotate it with the Transcript Pad unless they have an iPad in the app. But they can see it. You know, it's not totally unusable. It would be better if it could work across both iPads and Windows units. But, you know, that's, like you say, a complicated feature. And it would be difficult to...
And I've worked with other trial teams before, litigation teams, and I'm a humongous fan of Transcript Pad because of exactly the things you've been talking about. It's just so intuitive in the way that it works. I've worked with other litigation teams with older software even before the iPad. So we're talking about TextMap, which used to be a KSoft product and then was bought by Lexis. And Thomson Reuters has the Westlaw Case Notebook. Those are also transcript management applications. And one of the things that they did was allow, it was like a server based software that, you know, you could access from different Windows computers, for example. And that was a way that teams could share transcripts and share issues and everything. And I have noticed that with an iPad, it is sort of siloed in the sense it's wonderful. Transcript Pad is great. And I've worked with another firm down in Texas where they got about 13 people that were involved in a litigation matter. And they all had iPads, just like you said, because they all were using Transcript Pad to manage those depositions and transcripts. But they hit a couple of snarls when it came to like sharing things, and it would take a couple of other extra steps to share that. But I'm glad that you highlighted that as well. You're able to overcome that, but that's still something you got to think about it, depending on how many people you're sharing things with your team.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's really interesting that you mentioned those other applications. I think the reason that this is such a good app is Ian and his experience in the legal community. I mean, it's you finally have a lawyer developing something for lawyers.
Great point.
So he came at it from a completely different angle and made something that's entirely practical and usable. You know, like me, you go to a lot of these sort of tech shows, and I walk around and you look at a lot of these programs and software and applications that people are offering, and you think, nobody's going to use that.
They shall remain nameless. That's okay. But yes, I fully hear where you're coming from.
We don't have time to figure all that out. And you know, the other thing I found about Ian is he is so incredibly approachable.
True, absolutely.
You know, I had a problem when I got my new mega iPad, sort of getting everything synced up, and so I hit the contact or support button and typed a question, and I got an answer, and it was signed by Ian.
Now, that's great.
I think it wasn't a chatbot. That was Ian, but it was really Ian.
I believe it was him.
Having met him several times, it probably was.
Yeah, yeah. He is very responsive. You and I both have seen incredible improvements over the years just in taking feedback from folks like you and me and how it's been updated quite a bit, and he continues to add some updates in some of those.
Right.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I love, just to your point, Stephen, just on the fact that I'm getting ready to do a review on Transcript Pad, but just the sense that when we want to select a passage, it's just literally tapping the first page and line number, and then tapping the last line number of the section that we want to mark with a particular issue. And I know that sounds so silly because we almost take it for granted with touch screens today, but it's just such an intuitive component. And that is important for folks like yourself that, you know, you've got so many other things going on. It's not easy to have to sit there and try to learn about, you know, a specific application. You got to click here and drag here and then right click on this part and then also, you know, go up to the menu and mark here. It's like, no, we just need something easy to use and simple and intuitive. And just what you were saying, I think that's what Ian has hit upon with something like TranscriptPad. And that's why folks like yourself, I think, are drawn to use it.
Yeah, it just works. It just works. And like you say, draws people to it. I've even recommended it to experts. Because as you know, a lot of experts, you know, like lawyers, they have to review a lot of the testimony, and it's depending on your jurisdiction, it's hard to sort of point them to the testimony for then it looks like you fed it to them.
Right.
But they can go through and create reports for themselves and have the testimony that they need to rely upon in nice set categories. And, the ones that I've introduced to TranscriptPad, they love it too. I mean, they think it's great. So,
all right, you
all the way around.
You promised three different little slight limitations. I don't know if you want to come back. You remember the third one on this?
The third one is really about, I guess, something to go on a wish list for Ian. But I'd like to be able to use my pencil.
I see.
To be able to write little squiggly notes in the transcript instead of having to. There is a feature that lets you flag things and make notes, but you have to type it.
That's right.
And it would be nice to have a feature where you could just handwrite something on there. And
you're a pencil guy. You want to write on there. That does make sense. So you can just attach an issue to a section, or just like you said, Stephen, if you attach a flag to a section that you've highlighted there, that flag allows you to type in a little note, which is, I think, great. I've seen many lawyers use that as a way to basically summarize a transcript. Mm-hmm. So you can type in little notes that you might have, and then you can spit that out as part of the report. And having that as sort of your summary, your transcript summary there. But yeah, right now it is only typing. You want to be able to use the handwritten notes on there too. That's great.
I want everything, you know. It's like this story. Somebody was telling me they got on a plane to go someplace a couple of years ago when they first came out with Wi-Fi on airplanes. And so the flight attendant came on and said, you know, we've got really good news. This is one of the first planes that's equipped with Wi-Fi, so you can use your devices when we get about 10,000 feet. So everybody sort of cheered and Eric was happy, and we took off and we got up, you know, about 10,000 feet, and the flight attendant came back on and said, you know, I'm really sorry, but our Wi-Fi isn't working.
Oh, no.
And this guy next to me was just livid. I thought, well, you didn't even think you were going to have it 10 minutes ago.
Right, now exactly. You're mad 'cause you like don't. You've never... You came on board knowing you were not going to have Wi-Fi. Then they promised it, and then now you're upset because it wasn't there. Is that the definition of a first world problem? I think maybe that's getting there.
Exactly.
Oh man, hey, Stevie, thank you so much for being a part of this today. This was great. I'd love to hear about how individuals use the apps, and you have some great war stories too. And I think that really highlights the use on that. And as I mentioned, I'm going to get ready to review TranscriptPad on my website appsandlaw.com. So I'll go into a little bit more detail on exactly how to select the different sections and then how to export. Those reports to me are just powerful. And just quickly, I've seen a lot of people be able to share those reports a lot of times because it creates a PDF report. And then that PDF, of course, you can email off to either an expert or, you know, a team member or something like that. And I find a lot of people doing it that way. So,
absolutely.
So Steve, thanks for being on the Apps and Law podcast. And by the way, I would just say thanks again for working with the technology. Steve is actually recording on an iPad with the AirPods, which I just think is great. I mean, we're just like bringing it all full circle here. We tried it with the Skype meetings and business, but it didn't work out with my technology. So thanks for accommodating on the iPad and doing it that way. You can find out more about Steve. You can visit the Frost Brown Todd website, or I'll just speak for you, Steve, and mention the Legal Technology Resource Center of the ABA, LTRC. You can Google that. I'll have the links in the show notes as well. It's a great resource for all kinds of things. I'm constantly referring to the list that we have there for the states that have cloud ethics opinions. It's just one of the great things. It's a place for a lot of lawyers that I think they should be looking for as a resource there from the ABA.
Let me just give a quick plug for that. The LTRC website has a great blog called Law Technology Today.
Oh yes, great.
And it's particularly great for people out there who are younger lawyers who are interested in doing some writing. The reason I think it's so great is the topics are sort of relevant to technology and law and that sort of thing. So they're not just everything. But you can write an article there, a relatively short article. It'll be published on the LTRC website. And then you can post it on your social media,
yeah,
LinkedIn or Twitter, and it'll have the ABA name associated with your article. So it really sort of gives it a little
good
bit
stuff.
More stature. Yeah. And so I'm always trying to get our younger lawyers to go write something and submit it. And, you can really get your name out there by doing that. So
that's great.
I hope people do.
I think it's Cal, right? Cal Bates is the editor there. I mean,
those guys
are just doing a great job That's a fantastic suggestion, Stephen. Thanks for bringing that up. Just for people that want to write something about it, you can write about an app, you can write about your phone, you can write about something that you're using in your daily workflow and the technology. That's fantastic. Thanks for mentioning that. You can find out more app reviews at my site, appsandlaw.com. You can also subscribe to this podcast from your computer or iPhone or iPad. Thanks for listening.